the house of manna. I pray that this message will be a blessing to you. Those by way of video, I welcome you to the cast. I look forward to being able to go live on live stream on our website. But I welcome you now. I believe that the Lord has something that he wants to speak concerning your potential and your patterns. Your potential and your patterns. If you would, turn with me to 2 Kings 13, please. 2 Kings 13, verses 14 through 19. 2 Kings 13, verses 14 through 19. And when you have it, say amen. Second Kings 13, verses 14 through 19. This is concerning Elijah's final prophecy. The final prophecy of Elisha, as he is on his deathbed. He's ill. He's fallen ill. And he's laying there. He is ill. And then the king comes to him, King Jehoash. Now, what I want you to do is put your attention to verse 14 as we begin reading. When Elisha was in his last illness, King Jehoash of Israel visited him and wept over him, crying out, my father, I see the chariots and the charioteers of Israel, he cried. Elisha told him, get a bow and some arrows. And the king did as he was told. Elisha told him, put your hand on the bow. And Elisha laid his hands on the king's hands. Then he commanded, open the eastern window, and he opened it. Then he said, shoot. So he shot an arrow. Elisha proclaimed, this is the Lord's arrow, an arrow of victory over Aram, for you will completely conquer the Arameans at Aphek. Then he said, now pick up the other arrows and strike them against the ground. So the king picked up and struck the ground three times. But the man of God was angry with him. You should have struck the ground five or six times, he exclaimed. Then you would have beaten Aram until he was entirely destroyed. Now you will be victorious only three times. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it is true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you, Father, that it begins to be the very substance that is necessary for us to be launched to our prophetic future. That as we continue to move in the very graces of the Holy Spirit, that, Lord, you have given us access to our destiny. You have given us access to our potential. Father, I thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. If you look here, he says, open the east window. It is a new day for victory. The east window represents a new day. It's a dawn of a new day. The sun is rising from the east. So your new day is coming up on the horizon for you, but you have a responsibility to open up the window. Your victory is coming in a new day. What was once closed is about to be opened for you. What was once closed is about to be open for you. I'm going to say it one more again. What was once closed is being opened for you. But you have a responsibility to understand the potential that is inside of you. I'm trying to extrapolate everything that I can before I get going a little crazy here. Sometimes I feel like there's a Jehu spirit that I'm about to operate under. But there is something that tells me there is a prophetic voice that is commanding you to do something so that you can receive something that you have not acquired yet. We need to have a prophetic voice in our life to speak to us so that we can obtain what we haven't obtained as of yet. When he says open the window, he's saying there is a window, a floodgate that is being opened for you based out of your obedience. Pastor Anais gets up here and starts talking about her favorite scripture. Bring all your tithes into the storehouse and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven. I looked over at Michael, I said, floodgates? I know it to be a window. So I said, go to King James. I showed Michael real quick. Go to King James. He went to King James. I said, that says a window. But the NIV says floodgates.
Amen.
Each opening comes from the portal of heaven down for you. What opens the portals of heaven for you? Obedience. If you're not obeying God, not just in the tithe, if you want to hold your money, hold your money. It's not about that. It's about you being obedient to God and what He's commanding you to do. If you're funny with your money's going to be funny. Oh, who are you in here? Oh, you a little agitated. You're going to get a lot more agitated in a minute. You think church is about money? Church has nothing to do about money. Well, why we going to give it then? How come y'all have so many people talking about tithes and offering? Well, since we know the gospel, we don't need preachers then. Since we know the gospel, we don't need pastors. Since we're so learned, we don't need teachers. Since we have an understanding of the future and what God has for us, we don't need prophets. There is something that is connected to you that requires you to do something based on obedience to His word, His command, and a prophetic voice that will open up the portals of heaven that will begin to pour out to you. And He says that it's a floodgate. What is a floodgate? A floodgate has a tendency to open and close. When you do not obey, you have just shut off the floodgate. But when you obey, it is like turning that lever and it starts flowing your way.
Yeah,
I don't know about you, but I've been in a river when the water's running. Can I imagine when there's a flood that is coming and it's coming from a different elevation that is coming down to where I'm at? Sometimes the flood just comes right at you at the speed that you didn't expect based on your position to receive. When you stay obedient, you've positioned yourself right under the spout, right under the portal, right under the window, right under the floodgates, so that you can receive. I know we're giving money. I know it's tithes. But what I receive in return is to see souls saved. People healed, relationships restored, people ignited on fire again for the things of God. And not coming in and someone looking at them and saying, "You are nothing but a sinner. You smell like you've been out all night long." This ain't this church. And if someone's doing that to you, you let me know. Therefore, there be no condemnation.
Amen.
No condemnation. But there is a window that is opening for you. Out of your obedience, your obedience is going to cause you to open up a business that you didn't even know that was there ready for you to step into. But the mere fact that God said, "Do this," and you obeyed to the prophetic voice of God as He spoke through a minstrel, where He spoke through a person as a messenger, then you obeyed what He said. Then the door began to open that is in heaven. The window began to open up and started flowing in your direction. But if you do not obey the word and the command, you will stay working for the thing that you only know. I'm just talking about a window, and that's not my message. Jehu got a little crazy, but I'm serving notice to the Jezebel that wants to come in into your mind and wants to make you think that you can't get what's rightfully yours, because it wants to come against the authority. See, when a Jezebel spirit comes in, it wants to go against the authority. But listen to what it says here in this particular verse here. It says in verse 14, he says, my father, speaks of authority and it speaks of relationship. It says, my father, not your father, but my father. My granddaughter likes to watch this particular movie called Home. And in this particular movie, the character Tip is the name of the daughter that is looking for her mother because these aliens came in and took the parents away. And she's looking for her mother. She says, "Where's my mom?" He says, "We're going to go look for my mom." She goes, "No, not your mom, my mom." He says, "What'd I say?" Said the same thing. My mom. That's what I said. My mom. But what she was doing is making it personal. No, not your mom, my mom. My mom is not your mom. Your daddy is your daddy. But if you don't have a relationship with your daddy like the way you're supposed to have a relationship with your daddy, when God puts an authority in your life as a spiritual father, then you will hold that same type of relationship at bay, just like that father that mistreated you. But when he said, my father, he is addressing, I know your patterns and I know your potential, even in that bed just trying to take you out. You have something for me. Well, the king came because there was fear about an encroaching army that was coming to him that he didn't know whether or not he was going to win. There was a battle that was getting ready to ensue, and he didn't know if he was going to win. So he goes to his father. He goes to the prophet, and he speaks to the prophet. What do I do? My father, my father. And he says to him to open the east window. But when? Look in your scripture. Look in your scripture. When did he tell him to open up the east window? Did he say, open it up and then get your bow and arrow ready? Or did he say, get your bow and arrow in your hand and then open the window? What does it say? First, put in your hand before something happens, you got to be ready in the secret place. Before I can open up this window, you've got to be ready to receive what's going to happen. Before that window is even open, I'm going to talk to you, king, because kings are not archers. Hello, somebody. Kings are not archers. Kings will carry a sword. They'll ride on a mount, but they are not archers. When I read that, I said, how is a king going to become an excellent archer? He wasn't supposed to. The only time a king would use an arrow was to signify into the enemy's camp, I'm coming, and I'm stating that I'm coming for war. Are you understanding this? The king was the only time that he would get an arrow and launch it into the enemy's direction to say, we are going to war. You're missing this. Maybe we need to have some supercharged coffee back there or something. But what I'm trying to tell you is something's been standing against you and has been opposing you and has been keeping you from achieving what you want to achieve. What you've got to do is get in the secret place. You've got to get under the prophetic voice that has been speaking to you, encouraging you, uplifting you. And when you get into that place, what you do in secret, God, your Father, will reward. What you do in secret, Kelly, God's going to reward in the open places. But you have to let the enemy know you're coming. Oh, I'm waiting on the Lord. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm waiting on the Lord. You're going to wait a long time. The Lord's already done what he needed to do. But if you ain't moving, you're stuck. Is your name Chuck? Get unstuck. Come on, look at your neighbor. Say, is your name Chuck? No. Touch three people. Say, is your name Chuck? Is your name Chuck? Then get unstuck. Get unstuck, because we ain't stuck. When I saw that, look, he's telling you the prophet was sick in his bed. But before the window opened, he says, grab the bow and arrows. Read it. How many arrows? Arrows, multiple. Normally the king would get a bow and an arrow and launch one arrow in the direction of the enemy to let him know war is coming. But he says, I want you to grab your bow and arrows. Watch this. So he grabs it. He positions the arrow in the bow. Was it just the king's hand? Whose hand was on it too? the prophet. Oh, Lord. Do we need to have the hand of the prophet to, as a father, begin to help you as the helping hand to launch into the prophetic future of what is about to be done before the window is open? There is a prophetic hand of God that is coming into your life that will become mirroring to yours, that when you're getting ready to pull, you're not pulling on your own strength. You're pulling on the prophetic of God so it can be drawn back together with the kingly anointing and the prophetic anointing, so that when that window is open, you are ready to stand firm and to release your arrow into your future. And whatever's been coming against you is now being served notice that you're not doing this by yourself. You have a prophetic word that it says you will overcome, you will take your enemy out, you will destroy your enemy. You have a responsibility to grab the prophetic word and pull back together, release that kingly anointing so it can launch through the portals of heaven. My God. Woo! You can't do this without a prophetic word in your life. Pastor, I don't believe it always got to be about the prophetic. Your Bible is prophecy. Your Bible is the prophetic living word of God. You can find any arrow that you need in your Bible. Yes. You just first have to pull from its quiver. And when you pull from the quiver, you got to put it in the bow. What is a bow? It is something that is made of an arch that has tension on it. The things that bring tension into your life, that bring stress into your life, that bring all kinds of things that make you feel like you're bent over. Yay! He says the things that have brought you so much sickness in your body, that's made you feel like you can't even control your anger or your tongue, is the tension that is getting ready to loose this arrow. Yay! Oh, maybe I got a few people that are hearing this. But maybe it's not a sickness in your body. Maybe it's because a child has gone astray. Maybe it's because a wife or a husband doesn't want to line up with the word of God. Maybe it's to the point that you don't even know what you want to do in your life anymore. God says, there's everything when you walk ambiguously. He says, you got a tendency to be bent. You have a tendency to be bent over. There was a woman that was bent over for 18 years. She was bent over. But then the Lord spoke and she stood erect. And she stood up when she couldn't stand before. What came? The prophetic word of God made what was once crooked straight. Oh my God. There was a prophet in the wilderness saying, prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. I am in the wilderness making every crooked path straight. Whatever's crooked, whatever's bent is about to be made straight. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you got a, oh Lord, if you got a spouse that don't even want to tell you that you're a good thing. If you don't have a spouse that can speak into your life as a prophetic, my God, as a prophetic minstrel of God to speak and declare into your life, into your marriage, let me tell you, all you've got to do is draw back that arrow and say, Lord, the Bible says when a man finds a woman, finds a wife, he finds a good thing. My God. But he better find the one, not the many. Oh, we don't like to hear that. Well, Pastor, I just wasn't sure, so I was going to test drive. Miles get put on those test-driven cars. I was just saying. Just the fact, that's all. I wasn't insinuating nothing. Lord, let me get back to my nose. I feel some arrows coming at me. She said, I'll block them. See, I wonder what okay. Listen up. I love it. We have to understand. Here's what I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you four things, and then I'm going to continue on. I'm going to break this message into two parts. Number one, I'm going to talk to you about the setting of where you're at. Your setting. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Say yes, Pastor, preach. First, you got to open it. Open it. You must be willing to open the possibility of your future, what lies ahead of you and not behind you. You have to be willing to open up the possibility of your future, what lies ahead of you and not behind you. Grab the bow and arrow and be ready to shoot. You must prepare yourself before the opening. Number two, is face it. Face it. When the prophet spoke to him, the king, it says, open up the window that is facing east. We know that to be a new day, but that was also where the enemy's territory was in the eastern portion. You have to face the very thing that is opposing you. You have to face the very thing that is opposing you. You have to face your fears. You have to face the direction in which God is telling you to go. We're still on number two, but face it. You have to face in the direction God is telling you to go. Face it. Number one was open it. Number two is face it. Number three, you've got to shoot it. You've got to shoot it. When the prophet spoke to him and told him to shoot out of the window, he gave a very distinct in clarion call to release it in the direction. Now, after he released it, comes now how your relationship has patterns that he should have known. And I'm going to show that in the next section. But you have to shoot it. State your intention. State your intention. Have you ever had someone come up to you and tell you, this is what I desire out of our relationship? No, normally you just kind of meander through the relationship and you don't find out till later, years later, months later, that what their intention was. Wouldn't it be much easier if they stated their intention? Wouldn't you be much better off without getting hurt or wounded if you knew what the intentions were? Oh, I'm going to make it real plain and real in here for you. You came into the Rated R service today. It's relevant, it's real, and it's raw. Baby, my intention is to bed you down. At that point, you have a choice. Is this a little bit too raw? So you'd rather go through the whining and dining. I know it's Valentine's Day. Y'all are looking for all your chocolates, looking for all the flowers, looking for all the whining and dining that they're going to give you. But what if they stated the intention up front? I'm only with you because I want to sleep with you. What are you going to do? Are you going to value yourself or devalue yourself? Because if you value yourself, if that's your intention, let me state my intention. My intention is to be married in view of God's mercies, in view of God's eyes, to make this a holy matrimony. If your intention is to come and to deflower, let me tell you, you're in the wrong garden. But in today's society, if it feels good, looks good, smells good, it must be good. Lord Jesus. Look, I'm trying to give the musicians the time to just chill and relax, but you guys, whoever you are in here, you really coming against me. It's all good. I love it. Hey, amen. Because resistance helped me continue to pull back my arrow. Oh, but if it feels good, smells good, looks good, must be good. But every meat that comes from the butcher looks good, smells good, and tastes good at first. But if you leave it out long enough, it also spoils. Unless you put preservative on it, which is covenant through a ring. Oh, I'm addressing something in the atmosphere. You want to play around and you want to be sleeping around. You want to be doing some things like that. And then ask God, bless me, Lord, bless me. He says, I will. I won't curse you, but I will bless you and keep you. And that's my mercy. No, y'all don't want to hear this. Pastor, you had me going. I was ready to shoot arrows now, but now you feel like you're shooting them at me. Why are you attacking me like that? Shoo. I'm telling you, state your intentions. State your intentions. Number four, are you ready? Strike it. First, you have to shoot it, stating your intention. Secondly, you have to strike it. Well, thirdly, I'm sorry. Fourthly, strike it. You have to strike it. Now, what I want to do is put your attention back when he calls unto the prophet, my father, my father. It signifies a relationship. And it signifies he knows him. When you know him and have a relationship with your father, you also have an understanding of patterns. Don't miss this. You get around a prophet and you try to figure out a prophet's patterns. Sometimes you think you know the direction they're going and they just go left on you. Pastor, prophet, I thought you... Okay. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to be obedient. I don't understand it. Don't understand you, but it's okay. I trust you. I love you. My father, my father. So when he said strike it, he didn't give him an instruction how many times to strike it. But he did say to him, watch this. This is good. Don't miss this. On verse 18, then he said, now pick up the other arrows and strike them against the ground. How many of you are having a you know what I said. Visual of him grabbing those arrows out of the quiver and striking it like this. Just like this. How many of you having that visual? Okay. That's not what was intended here. What he was saying is grab those arrows, pull what you just learned, do again. What you just learned, you have to do again. It's not going to happen where my hand is on your hand every single time. At some point in your life, you got to take what God has already shown you and begin to walk things out on your own, even if it's immediate right after he shows you. My God, if he came through for you once, then don't be asking him to come through again. Change your spending habits. Start being more, oh my God, start being more in line with what God is saying to do to get yourself out of debt. Woo! We have to change the patterns of our life because he knew his pattern. He knew the pattern of his father because he knew him through relationship. Through relationship. Now he's saying, my father, he is stating to him, you have been my spiritual father, you've been my mentor, you've been everything that I look up to, that I obey your command regardless. But what he did not understand was he was so reliant on the prophet that he didn't know how to do it on his own. Woo! So when he told him to strike it with the other arrows, he was to put it in the bow and strike the ground. So he used all the arrows. There's some gifts and talents inside of you that you haven't drawn from the quiver. You're so used to using what you already know that you don't let God use the other things inside of you. Oh, I can sing, but I only sing to myself. If you got a voice, sing. If you got a gift, use it. But I'm not too sure what it is. You start searching. Start asking God, reveal to me my gifts. Well, it's just insignificant. It's something little. So is the mustard seed. And look at what it did. It became equivalent to the kingdom of heaven. The mustard seed. Smallest seed around. It became the equivalent and a representation of the kingdom of heaven. If it's insignificant, maybe you're the David as a shepherd boy that was out in the field shepherding the flock, not knowing that you later would become into the future, the window of your prophetic destiny, become a shepherd of the people of Israel. The king of all kings. Whoo, my goodness. He's preparing you with the insignificant thing that you don't even know that he's doing. He's trying to show you everything in your life. He's trying to reveal to you your patterns. Mm-hmm. So that you can recognize his patterns. Patterns. Patterns is the next section I want to talk to you about. Because patterns will reveal to you your potential. Do you understand what your potential is? We're like, yeah, I know my potential. I'm called to greatness. I'm called to good things. Know your potential. Know your full potential. Here's the definition of potential. Having or showing the capacity to become or develop into something in the future. Having or showing the capacity to become or develop into something in the future. Qualities or abilities that may develop and lead to future success or usefulness. That's potential. Has someone told you that you have potential? Hello? I don't remember the last time, but yeah. Yeah, they said I have potential. Can you see potential in people? Yes. Yeah, you can? Yes. No, you can't. No, you can't. You can't. You can't see potential because it's a quality that is going to come potentially later for the future. So you can't see their potential. You just know based on the patterns of their life, on how they interact and how they do, you're judging fruit to understand that there's potential in them to be great. You understand? What I'm saying is, if you want someone to help you and do things, you don't want someone that's just always sitting or just, they come sometimes, they don't come sometimes, they're there with you, sometimes they're not there with you. Do they have potential? No, their patterns show that they don't. They haven't dealt with the patterns in their life. I start and I stop. I start and I stop. Start something and finish something before you start the next thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, I just took y'all out of prophetic and went into teaching, and y'all are like, ooh, I don't like this. Patterns. I'm going to break patterns down for you. Are you ready? Patterns. Like Rico Suave has a pattern. George the Gigolo has a pattern. He's going to tell you everything you want to hear to get everything he wants to get. But the thing about that pattern is he's not just doing it to you, he's doing it to others. Reminds me of that Lionel Richie song. Once, twice, three times a lady. Y'all know that song?
Yeah.
Has it been played on you? He's already told you his intention. You ain't my first. You ain't my second. Three times a lady. He's like, I got me not one lady, I got me three ladies. Your patterns. If you see patterns in an individual, do you really want to submit and succumb to that pattern in somebody else's life? Because now you develop that pattern. Well, I don't date like that. I stay with one. But you're staying with the one that has many. What do you like that? Oh, that brother, you're going to have to pray for me. And I feel those arrows coming. Pray for me, brother. Pray for me. Woo! So you don't understand what it is to be single because, hey. I do know what it is to be single. The Bible says it's better for you to be single than to be married so you won't be tied down to a certain thing, but you can give your time devoted to God. Oh, but we don't like that scripture. Oh, no, let's pass that one. That's not for me. I'm waiting for my Boaz. Make sure he ain't broke. Make sure he got a job. And make sure he ain't got another on the side. You see, you got to state the intentions. But when you see a pattern, you have a better understanding. I mean, okay, let's take this out of the spiritual realm because y'all are getting too spiritual on me right now. You're like, Pastor, this, can we take it to the word, please? Stop it. Let's take it to your job or to your school. Do you see a pattern that is developing around you that is always around you? Maybe that pattern that you have created is procreating in your area of influence. The pattern in which is inside of you is procreating in the area of influence around you. We have to have that understanding that my patterns must be the pattern that the scripture says for us to have, not what you desire. Scripture says that, yes, we're supposed to love our neighbors. Love our neighbors. Oh, I love you. I don't like you, but I love you. I love you at a distance. Hallelujah. God bless you. Did you see what she was wearing today? Oh, my God. That ain't love. That ain't love. True love says, God bless you. I'm so glad to see you today. How have things been going? How's your family doing? How are things going at your jobs? And then listen for a response so you can have dialogue. Everybody say, how you doing? Oh, bless God, I'm good. Everything's going great. You're a liar. If you really told the truth of what you were going through, some people's mouths would drop when you were to tell them. What? I never knew. Well, you didn't give time to get to know me. You only wanted to see me how you wanted to see me. We begin to develop a pattern on how we prejudge and how we view people. Patterns. Somebody, one of your coworkers, may have a pattern where they're, oh, I got this idea. We should do this and we should do that. And when it's time to get it started, they're not even there. Oh, I'm going to help you do this. Where'd he go? Where'd she go? I thought we were doing this together. Well, no, I'm a visionary. I just tell visions that I see and I tell everybody else I surround with it. Come on. How many times have you had someone tell you, we should do this? And then when it's time, you start moving, like, I really feel this is God. I'm going to do this thing. I really feel this is a good idea. I'm going to do this thing. And you turn around, that person that told you that we should is no longer there. Patterns. Watch their patterns. And you'll see that they're always doing that. You understand? How many of you had bosses in your life that always come to you when they're mad and upset and they take it out on you? Always doing it. What was that pattern? You became the trash can, the dumping ground, and you've always allowed it. And they keep coming to you. Because maybe somebody else said, oh, well, hold up, you need to take that mess someplace else. I don't know about you, but I'm not a dumping ground. Amen? I'm watching the patterns that come around me so that when I look at somebody, I can see their potential of something in the future by the way the patterns of their life and the way they interact and the way they hold themselves. I can see a pattern that says, that person's going to be a leader someday. That's someone I can pour into because I can see the patterns in their life to want to become better. You understand? But if you see potential based on patterns, you may not have the full scope of what they can become. You understand? Now, here I am. I'm going to give you a short little illustration. I was a restaurateur with my mom and my dad. We owned a restaurant and I worked a restaurant. And then being in the restaurant, I was getting a little bored. Cook and did all that, did catering. I was getting a little bored. So we said, okay, we're going to go start refurbishing trailers. We're going to go start doing construction. I don't think it was a good idea or a God idea, but he used it. Showed me some things about construction that I can't build. My wife says, you want to go buy power tools for what? What are you going to try to build? No, just so I can have them. I can't build you a house. Don't even ask me to build you a birdhouse. The poor bird's probably going to call, the housing authority, because
decrepit, it needs to be knocked down. I can't build you that. Much less, I am not a mechanic. I'm looking at Jeff over there looking at me. He goes, no, you're not a mechanic, sir. You are not a mechanic. No. Telling me what the problem of your car is. No. Let me tell you what the problem is. I'm not a mechanic. But my potential to become very familiar with the ins and outs of a vehicle came by way of my car breaking down all the time. I was getting bent. The tension was getting ready to come. I said, no, I need to understand something about this vehicle because it cost me some money. You see, there's some things in your life that you see that you could probably do, but it's not inside of you and your potential to do it. But if you stayed in your lane and realized what God has really asked you to do is to learn how to better manage timelines, budgets, that you can do. I learned that the hard way. Being in these stinky trailers, these are the ones that got repoed. You know those mobile homes repoed? If you know something's about to get repo, most of them, my God. Popo back there. Popo, raise your hand back there. Popo, there's Popo right there. How many of those trailers were clean when we got in there? Zero. None of them. They were trash. And we were the ones that had to go clean and paint and patch and build. And Lord forbid, someone turn on a light switch in one of them. We're just giving an example. I'm not saying that we did something we shouldn't have done. I didn't know. But I learned about budgeting, and I learned about time frames, and I learned about something that I didn't know that God was trying to show me. So my potential was learning something I did not know, but I realized that's not my lane. You understand? The potential inside of me was to manage projects. But I went after something that God used to show me that it's in there. If I had stayed in the restaurant, all I would have been doing is just cooking. But sometimes he has to get you out of your comfort zone, get you to pull from the quiver that you haven't pulled from, not realizing those arrows are back there for you. Strike the ground. Don't just strike it once. Strike it numerous times. Because you only did it one time, that doesn't mean it's going to be done completely. Because you did it two times, that doesn't mean it's going to be done completely. Because you did it three times, doesn't mean you're going to wipe them out completely. Then the prophet looks over him and says, you should have struck it 6-7 times. He should have struck it more. Used all the arrows. In other words, what he's saying, you should have used everything that God has given you in your quiver. All of the gifts, all the talents, all the knowledge, and all the wisdom that he gave you. You should have used it so you can take your enemy out and utterly destroy them. But you went only based on your comfort. I can imagine how the king is, because I have a tendency to look at things when I begin to read scripture. I imagine what the king was doing is, this: you don't shoot arrows to the ground? This prophet really sick, man. I told you, Dad, something was wrong with you, Dad. You don't shoot arrows in the ground? You know, like our kids get today, they want to argue everything with you. Y'all don't have those? Okay. Just me. It's just me. I only have, you know, Mom, I don't know why you're telling me I have to wash the dishes like this. They're clean, aren't they? No, there's some stuff that's, you know, look at the fork. Still has your spaghetti still in there. This is why you have to wash it like this. But it's too hot and get all wet. I don't know. I don't want to do those pots and pans over there. Ooh, that's gross. Got food. I don't want to do those. Y'all have one of those too?
Yes.
You have those? I'll just do the plates and the forks and the knives, and that's it. But you do the rest. You do the big stuff, the one that's real dirty. You do those. It's kind of like Christians today when they're in church. You do all the easy stuff. When it comes to the hard part, children's church, somebody else go and do that one. We'll take care of this stuff for you, Pastor. The hard stuff, it's on you on your own. But I don't. Hey, that's not my calling. That's not my flow. What? I'm sure it'll tell you, you're about to get blessed with $100 every time you serve, and I'd have a whole line of people over there at that table with Miss Rami back there. Sign me up.
You know, that those kids back there in the kingdom kids, they come out prophesying, they come out laying hands, and they know how to pray. They know how to pray. That's the generation right there that's going to look to you and say, my father, my father. Because you hold the prophetic voice into their life. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure that that king had that arrow and he's striking it into the ground. Here's the thing that you're not realizing what he's doing. He wasn't in the room that he was doing it. He was shooting it not in the direction east, but he was shooting out of the window straight down, which makes no sense when you're shooting into the ground. It makes no sense why you're doing it. But God was saying to him through the prophet is if you're always waiting on me to give you every single instruction, then you're going to miss out on your full potential by trusting me and my patterns. Did he tell Peter to step out of the boat? No, he didn't. Peter asked, if it is you, Lord, bid me to come. All he said was, it is I. So what did Peter do? Based on potential inside of him, patterns, I believe Jesus, when he looked at, when Peter was working and toiling all night, I believe that pattern right there says, this boy don't quit. This boy don't quit. He fishes all night long. And when I tell him to just do it on the other side, which makes no sense whatsoever, just put the net on the other side of the boat and watch what happens. Peter said, at your word, I shall do it. Makes no sense, but yet at your word. See, there was a pattern of always listening to God. There was a pattern that Peter always did is whatever it looks like, it doesn't matter what I see. I just know that you have a potential, God, for my future because you have a pattern of history that proves to me you'll never leave me nor forsake me and your seed will never be begging bread. If I've been toiling all night, I will just cast that net one more time like it's the first time. I'm going to cast my net like it's the very first time I got in my boat and I casted that net. Woo! He knew Peter by the patterns that Peter was doing. So Peter, later in Scripture, he's the one that's in the boat with the other disciples. The only one that cried out, the only one, was Peter. It's a ghost. No, it's not a ghost. That's the Lord. See the pattern? He recognized them in seasons of hardships. He recognized them when he had no abundance. He recognized them when he was laboring all in his night seasons. That's when he learned to recognize where God was. When the Savior would enter in, is in his hardships, in his storms. When things were raging against him, he realized that's when the Lord shows up. So it's not a ghost like they would say, a ghost would show up. That is the Lord. Because his pattern in my life, he's always shown up in the night seasons of my life. He's always shown up when things don't look like I'm going to be able to make it to the other side. He always shows up because it's a pattern of my Savior that I can recognize that potentially he is coming for me to get me to where I've never been. He's coming for me because he sees potential in me that I can't see based on my patterns of my life. I can't look to my past, but my past shows a pattern. Woo! Patterns, Mary, patterns. If God is blessing you in a season, let him fulfill what he started. Don't take off and miss what he's doing in your life because you want to go back to your past. Because of the patterns, your addictions. Oh, God. Patterns. You want someone that loves you? Oh, my wife saw me. She loved me at first sight. She fell in love with me since she laid her eyes on me. That's the one. No, she didn't. She hated me. She didn't like me, brother. She didn't like me at all. I would walk up to her and she would say, you need to get away from me. Get away from me. Y'all think I'm playing. She says, I know your patterns. I know how you are. I know what you're about. You don't have to state your intentions. I know what you're about because of your patterns. But it took a while to come around, but she came around.
Come around. She came around, Mary. Well, she came around. So now I know the scripture says, when you find, a treasure is not just put out there for everyone to find. A treasure sometimes is hidden in the rough. Sometimes a treasure, you got to go looking through the stuff, the muck and the mire. You got to look through the mud. You got to look through everything. You got to go past the dirt, past all the crevices of the things that you don't even know that's there. But once you find it, the Bible says you find a good thing. People think that it's just going to happen. Oh, they wear that Versace cologne and he's got those Wranglers on. He's got that Stetson cowboy hat, those cowboy boots. I don't want him. He ain't good for me. Out of her mouth. But I saw a pattern in her. She's a good person. She has a loving heart. She cares for others and should do for others before herself. I saw her patterns. Her patterns tell me the potential that's inside of her will continue based on her patterns to do good, be good, and always do for others before she does for herself. When I saw those patterns, it reflected on my patterns. I couldn't be the same because I didn't want to lose what I found. If someone don't want to hold on to treasure, you've got to cut and move on. Because you're priceless in the eyes of God. The patterns will bring potential. Do you understand? With Peter, he knew it. Peter had potential for victory, potential for peace, potential for precision. You have that. I use Peter as an illustration because he messed up so many times. How many times have you denied Christ? Oh, not me, Pastor. I do not deny Christ. Never. Just last week you did when you were so tired. Is this even real? Why are we even doing this? Is the gospel even true? Are you going to do it or you're not going to do it? You denied. Well, I just had a temper tantrum for a little bit, but he knows my heart. You better have an understanding. He loves you, but he sees your patterns. You recognize your patterns because the potential inside of you is for victory. It's for your peace. It's for your precision. Take the potential and work it out. Why work it out? Because you got to get potential that's inside and get it out. Amen? Don't live your life in what could have been. Because then you're living in the different window that's not on the east. You're living in your past. If the windows of your past are cloudy, dismal, and meek, turn around and face a new day. Face a new horizon that is coming for you. Whatever has had you to the point where you didn't think you were going to make it to your prophetic destiny or your future, just know this. Turn around. You're looking through the wrong window because you're looking over your past. Pull what God has put inside of you and use them all. Use them all. Potential that is released Potential that is released has a tendency to give other people potential to become great. But the potential that is going to come is going to come through hardships, trials, and the tensions in your life. But you won't know it until you go through it. When you come out on the other side, you'll draw back that arrow with the hand of God on your hand and launch into your future
to serve notice to the enemy, I'm utterly destroying you now. Whatever your enemy is, whatever your storm, whatever your hardship, the arrow is being drawn, and it's time for you to launch it. Are you ready to launch your arrow? Stand at your feet if you would, Josh, if you guys would come. The potential in your life is facing in a new direction. A new direction. The prophet went on, and you read in the rest of that particular chapter, the prophet died. Elisha died. And not only did he die, they put him in a grave, just wrapped, not in a, you know, they put him in a tomb. Not in a coffin, not in a box, but in a tomb. And the preparation for a burial was they just wrapped in clothing. Wrapped in clothing and put inside the tomb. Then when a band of raiders were coming, and during that time, the band of raiders would come and they would start stealing from the dead. They would start taking away from what had passed on. See, there's some bands of raiders that have come in during the times of your life, coming to steal some of the things that are very valuable to you. So when the individual that was getting buried, they saw the band of raiders, that what they did, instead of taking him to his particular burial, they opened up, rolled the stone away from the prophet's tomb, and they threw that man's body in that very place where the prophet lay and was dead. The Bible says that when he touched him, that he sprung to life. He sprung to life. Whatever has been wrapped up, closed up, and shut up is getting ready to spring up. Whatever has been wrapped up, closed up, and shut up is getting ready to spring up. Whatever is getting ready to be tossed out, saying it's dead, it's useless, it's no more life in it, it's getting ready to be revived. To stand up and go out and do greater things than they've ever done in their life before. Some things in your life that have been wrapped so tight, that have been put into a place that says you're done, you're over, it's finished. But God is saying, I have a prophetic word for you that is going to revive you again. That my hand and your hand together, with the prophetic voice of God speaking into your existence, will begin to catapult you into your destiny and bring about change. Not just change for a season, but change for a lifetime. A lifetime. You're not going to face this thing anymore. You're going to utterly destroy it. You'll see change once and for all. But you got to pull from your quiver. And you've got to release it through the tensions of your life. And launch that thing through the window, the portals of heaven. And watch as he begins to pour down the abundance of fresh rain. The abundance of everlasting peace and precision. Prosperity and protection. Promise that you felt has withered away. It's coming back. And you'll see life stand on your behalf. You first have to understand. Look at your patterns. Look at his patterns. If he's come through for you once, he's going to do it again. He's an everlasting God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What is that stating? I'm the God of the old, I'm the God of your now, and I'm the God of your future. I'm the God of you being Jacob, and I'm the God of you being Israel. I'm the God of the one that you feel that you have discounted yourself, but nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from everything that you've been through, because he's there with you, walking through you, and he's saying that even if I'm in this storm with you, you have a responsibility to recognize me based on my patterns in the storms of your life. I've been there. Look for me in the storm. Look for me in the tension of your life. Look
for me in your shortcomings. Look, because I'm there. I'm always there. I'm omnipresent. I'm always there for you. Hallelujah. If you believe this, give the Lord a hand clap. Give him a shout. Because he is good and good forevermore. The God that we serve is still on the throne. He reigns supreme. He gives you victory. But he's standing on your behalf.